Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and set myself on the ramparts and will look out to know what he will say to me and what answer I'll get concerning my complaint. He's been complaining in chapter 1 that, God, you appear to be silent. He says, I accept that you are holy, that you are right, but it seems you're not doing anything. He says, right, well, I will wait for the answer of God to me. And Yahweh answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he who reads it may run. That is, that people may respond to what I'm saying. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it speeds towards the end and won't prove false. Though it takes time, wait for it, because it will surely come, it won't delay. So God is saying, look, as he said in chapter 1 in response to Habakkuk's complaint, I am working. That's what God told him in chapter 1. And here God says, look, I am going to do something about this. We know the ultimate answer is in the return of Jesus to the earth and the establishment of God's kingdom here. He says that, yes, there's an appointed time and it speeds towards the end. In fact, God is speeding it all up and it will not prove false. God's promised intervention in this earth is going to come. Though it takes time, wait for it. And I think why there is this apparent delay is to test our faith. If the minute there was a problem, we pray to God and zap, there's an answer within a second, well, where would our faith be? Where would our trust be? Because faith means to trust. You think of the Lord's parable about the girls who go out to meet the bridegroom, but he delays and they all slumber and fall asleep. Well, that was intentional, to see whether some of them would take oil for their lamps. Those who had patience, those who were prepared to wait. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright in him, but the justified one will live by his faith. That's what I've been saying, that it is the proud people who are puffed up who say, no, I want to see God acting now. And if he doesn't, well, he's a bad God or doesn't exist. But he says the just will live by his faith. Now, Paul develops that a lot in the New Testament. He says that the justified are those who are counted righteous by God, although they're sinners, and they live by their faith that God is going to justify them. So then, there's a difference between those whose soul is puffed up in them, those who are arrogant and demanding God act immediately and criticizing him for allowing things to go on as they do for the moment, and those, on the other hand, who are sinners, but who are justified by faith and who will live eternally because of that. So we want to be on the side, not of the proud, but of the humbled sinners who believe by faith in God's grace that we will be justified. Yes, wine is treacherous. A proud man doesn't stay at home. Again, these are the people who expect God to do something immediately. He enlarges his desire as Sheol, the grave, and he is like death and can't be satisfied, but gathers to himself all nations and heaps to himself all people. Won't all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him who increases that which is not his and who enriches himself by extortion. How long? So then the king of Babylon, who was going to lead this invasion, was going to be one of these proud people who didn't want God in his life and who seeks to just get himself rich. But how long? Yeah, that's the question. How long until God brings him down? But God will bring him down. Won't your debtors rise up suddenly and wake up those who now make you tremble and you will be their victim? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the peoples will plunder you. Because of men's blood and for the violence done to the land, to the city, that's Jerusalem, and all who dwell in it. So, yeah, Babylon was going to be judged. It will happen, but it just wasn't as quick as how Habakkuk expected it. Woe to him who gets an evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the hand of evil. You have devised shame to your house by cutting off many peoples and have sinned against your soul, that is, sinned against yourself. All sin is really against yourself. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, isn't it of Yahweh of armies that the peoples labour for the fire, and the nations weary themselves for vanity? So God allows them to do this. It is of Yahweh of armies. But the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So God's kingdom will eventually come when there will be no spot on earth that is not covered by the knowledge of God's glory. This is the point that he who shall come will come. This is a test of our faith. Woe to him who gives his neighbour drink, pouring your inflaming wine until they are drunk so that you may gaze at their naked bodies. You are filled with shame and not glory. You will also drink and be exposed. The cup of Yahweh's right hand will come around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. God is particularly against those who make others sin. In this case, it's called giving your neighbour drink to get him drunk. We need to take that very seriously, and Jesus says the same, that if you make a little one stumble, you will be condemned. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the destruction of the animals which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence done to the land, to every city, and to those who dwell in them. But God says, look, I'm very sensitive to Babylon. You say I'm not doing anything. I am. And he says that he is even aware of how they destroyed animals and how they made animals frightened. Can you imagine an army passing through a land? It's going to make animals frightened. And he says it's not just the violence that you did to the people, but to the land, the damage you did to the physical land, the violence done to Lebanon. I imagine that means that they cut down a lot of the trees in Lebanon, which was famed for its cedar trees. And so God is saying, I see absolutely everything. I don't only see all the bad things being done by man to man, but by man to animals and by man to trees. What value does the engraved image have that its maker has engraved it, the molten image, even the teacher of lies, that he who fashions its form trusts in it to make mute idols? Woe to him who says to the wood, awake, or to the dumb stone, arise. Shall this teach? It is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in its midst. But Yahweh is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. So God is saying, yes, I see this. I see all the idolatry. I see how they make these idols, how they fashion wood and stone, and consider that dumb piece of wood and stone to be their teacher, and it's got no breath at all in it. But I am alive. I am in my holy temple. And let people be silent before me. That is, despite all your questions and all your struggles, respect me.